podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
It's time for I Got Five on It with the Raspy Voice Kids. It's another introduction to the Raspy Voice Kids podcast. This is Brandon Phoenix, a.k.a. I Also Hate Pitt, joined by my brother,
Jason. I'm in the building, the booth.
We are now kicking it off. Jordan, spin the music.
Welcome back, RVK Nation, to another edition of I Got Five on It with the Raspy Voice Kids. I'm your host, Jordan Tycuri, and let's get things kicked off with the first blank. Blank is the key to beating Texas.
Scoring. Period. And when I say scoring, what I mean is touchdowns, not field goals. That's important because there are games that have been swung because we scored field goals instead of touchdowns, Kansas being one of them. Joel, the stats guy, WV stats guy, once again pointed out a stat that shows where we could have gone for scores or continued drives instead of kicking field goals or punting the ball has swayed, even marginally, the difference in games like Kansas and Pittsburgh. We have to score touchdowns when touchdowns are available or when they're even an option. We have to score if we're going to beat Texas. Not because Texas offense is that prolific, but because I don't trust our secondary against Texas's offense, against their receivers. Even though Texas has been a run-heavy, a very run-successful team, I believe they're going to try to throw the ball against this defense.
I like it. My key to this game is our secondary is the key to beating Texas. I'm not saying they have to be locked down, shut down. I'm not telling you they have to play spectacular. But what I need to see is opportunistic football, an opportunistic takeaway here or there, a big stop on third down. If I wanted to point to anybody, I would mostly point to the Chiefs defense who, granted, other than this week they look dominant, but for a long time, for the last couple years, they're not locked down, shut down, but they are very opportunistic. When the opportunity comes to make a big play, to get off the field, that's what they do. And that's what's going to be big for our secondary. I don't think there's going to be a low-scoring game, but we need our secondary to come up with the few stops, the one turnover, the big breakup on third down to give JT Daniels, our offensive line, and CJ Donaldson a chance to win this game.
Number two, Neil Brown's win against Virginia Tech blank his tenure at WVU.
Neil Brown's win against Virginia Tech encapsulated his tenure at WVU. What do I mean? Just when you think you're rid of him, he does something that makes it seem like he's got to stay, or he is allowed to stay. It encapsulates it. He beats the teams he's supposed to beat most of the time. However, I will say this is got to be his best win. That was Virginia Tech's largest loss in Lane Stadium ever. If I read the internet correctly, it's the largest loss for Virginia Tech in Lane Stadium ever. And Neil Brown has credit for that. Now, granted, his wins are an FCS team and a bad Virginia Tech team, but it encapsulates Neil Brown. Two wins in a row. We'll get to that later on.
Yeah, it extended his tenure with WVU. I'm not saying for how much longer. I don't know how it'll go all season. I kind of figure it'll go all season now, but it extended. It bought him some time. It was a good win. It was a good win because it was against a rival. It was a good win because it was a rout, not because they played a good team, but because of how important the rivalry was in which we played the team against. But either way, he got the win. He got the win that he needed. He had to have that one. And extended him. It bought him just a little bit more life in Motown.
Number three, the offensive line blank keep up their run dominance.
The offensive line will hopefully keep up their run dominance. Listen, they've been doing their thing. I have been upset with Matt Moore. I did not feel like this offensive line has been as dominant as it needed to be. Well, it has been. It's been balling, really doing its thing. Especially when you talk about an air raid offense, you would not expect to be grounding and pounding the way that they have, but they have been. So hopefully, we'll hopefully continue that trend against Texas.
Yeah, I agree. I like the hopefulness, but I think we will. I honestly think we will. Now, I know Virginia Tech's defense wasn't stellar. I know Kansas isn't locked down, shut down. All right, we're not going to pick up Townsend. But Pitt was supposed to be a pretty solid defense. If you look up the numbers we put up, 190 against Pitt, 146 against Kansas, 316 Townsend, 278 against Virginia Tech. It's not like we're going over the 100 mark. We're crushing the 100 mark. And it's not like we're opening up little holes for somebody to sliver through. We're opening up Mack truck holes. I don't know what's gotten into this offensive line. I'm hesitant to give Matt Moore too much credit yet, but I believe it continues. Prove me wrong, baby. I love it. Prove me wrong.
Number 4. JT Daniels, blank, the best quarterback in the Big 12.
JT Daniels is definitely not the best quarterback in the Big 12. Why do I say that? Not because I hate JT Daniels. Why do I say that? Not because I don't think JT Daniels is not brilliant. I think the man is great. He's a genius academically when it comes to the quarterback position. He slings the ball with tremendous accuracy so often. He's got a cannon for an arm. He does almost everything you want a quarterback to do, but he's not a dual threat. And in college, the ultimate weapon is a dual threat quarterback. That's Jalen Daniels, not JT Daniels. And Jalen Daniels has proven to be consistent in the offense that he's been surrounded by there in Kansas. Lawrence has the best quarterback in the Big 12. It's not JT Daniels.
Yeah, I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to stay with the faithful. I say he is the best quarterback in the Big 12. If you look at the head-to-head duel, we are one stupid penalty in overtime that separates West Virginia from beating Kansas. In that game where the two quarterbacks went head-to-head, JT Daniels did have one interception, but he threw for 365 yards and three touchdowns. Now, the other Daniels from Kansas played ball too. He had 265 yards passing and another 89 yards rushing, somewhere around there. So he put up around the same stats, but JT Daniels had just a little bit more. The biggest difference is his team got the win, West Virginia didn't. We're one stupid penalty in overtime for me saying, oh, they're both 3-1. JT Daniels won the head-to-head. JT Daniels releases the ball so quick in the pocket. Yes, the other Daniels has an explosive factor where he can take off and run. Yes, he's doing great things. But I'm just super impressed with JT Daniels. And right now, it's an early season. So it could change. But right now, I kind of just lean a little JT Daniels, though I do love a running quarterback.
Do you know where JT Daniels is listed in QBR in the Big 12?
Where?
Number 5.
Okay. It's fine. We'll see. We'll see how, as the rest of the year goes on. I watch him throw passes. Like I said, this is not just about stats. There's times when people are like, well, Daigie leads and Daigie stats and Daigie. No, stats are one thing, but I watch the game. And I'll say the same thing about JT Daniels. I watch the game. I watch him get the ball out of his hands super quick, makes his decisions. And when he gets the ball out of his hands super quick, it's never like, oh, he's going to throw an interception.
I think JT Daniels will be a better pro than any of the quarterbacks in the Big 12.
I agree. But anyways, my opinion. I go JT Daniels still.
Number 5. Huggins saying, woo! What intrigues me about this team is the ball goes in. The ball actually goes in. Has you feeling blank.
Like Groundhog Day. Jeremy, where have I heard this before? Oh, that's right. Last year. I've heard this before. This is not new. Bobby Huggins has said the same thing about teams in the past, and then we get to the season, and the ball does not go in. I'd much rather Bobby Huggins talk about how hard this team works, talk about how cohesive this team is, and he has done both of those things. He's talked about both of those things. I'd much rather him really just delve into those topics than talking about the ball going in and just let it speak for itself when the ball actually goes in, and not just in out-of-conference play, but more importantly, in-conference play. It feels like Groundhog Day.
Yeah, it has me feeling uninterested in his preseason comments. I'm going to give a whole phrase. Uninterested in his preseason comments. I mean, Bobby Huggins is a Hall of Famer. He's so great, but these last few years, preseason, what he's telling us, like you said, it's the same thing. Oh, they can shoot now. Oh, they're hitting shots. Best shooting team I've had in a long time. Not interested. because that's not what I'm seeing on the court. I'm not telling you that I'm not going to be good. What I'm saying is I can't drink the Kool-Aid preseason anymore because, honestly, I don't know anymore what we're going to have. I've heard all kinds of stuff these last 5 years, and very rarely has it been true. So let me see what it is. Hopefully we're really good, but especially when it comes to shooting, nah. I was born at night, not last night, Bobby. Well, that's what we got. Five questions, five answers for you. I'm J.N. Thien. I'm with my brother. I also hate Pitt. We in the building, in the booth. And guess what? Next segment, we're going in.
Rapid voice!
More than 100 schools available from Home Field Apparel. If you like comfortable clothes, check them out. They are a partner with the Raspy Voice Kids and the 1012 Network. Use our code RASPY12, RASPY12, for a discount on your first order. 15%. Go get it. Tell them we sent you.
Boom. Bosco's Boys is here. I think we all wanted it. And the marriage is officially official. I'm so pumped to bring my show to the 1012 Network. Bosco's Boys, the most consistent K-State podcast out there, over 4 years with at least one episode a week, bringing live shows to the listeners and to the participants every Wednesday at 7 p.m. I'm pumped to be here, and I would love it if you guys came over to Bosco's Boys and gave us a listen, because we are not Big J Journos. This is a podcast by a fan and his dog for fellow K-State and Big 12 fans, and I can't wait to chop it up with all the members and fans of the 1012 Network.
Rack me boys!
I'm going in, I'm going in, I'm going in, I'm going in.
And I'ma go hard, and I'ma go hard, and I'ma go hard.
That's right, we're going in again. Coming off of Virginia Tech win, we going in. Coming up on a Texas night. Was it Texas night game? What time is the game start? Yeah, it's Texas night game.
7:30 on Fox.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if out there in Austin it's going to be night game. But you know,
yeah,
it's an evening game.
Okay,
it's an evening game. We're going in. This is your boy J.N. Thien. I'm here with my brother
Brandon Phoenix, aka I also hate Pitt, horns down, now and forever.
That's right. And we are the Raspy Voice Kids. Brandon, let's go back to the Virginia Tech. What a big win for Neil Brown. What a big win for the kids on the team. You start out 0-2. You win two straight, 2-0. Brandon, let's start with the positives. What are some of the positives that you took away from the Virginia Tech game?
The offensive line. The offensive line has... I've complained about Matt Moore. I've complained about the lack of discipline on the offensive line. I've complained about them not being dominant, not looking dominant, not looking gelled, even though they've played together for this is their second year that they've been together as a unit for the most part. They have depth, they have talent, and they hadn't looked the part, but they looked the part. They looked the part against Virginia Tech. They looked dominant.
No, absolutely, 100%.
Doug Nestor registered as the top run blocker at 80.6 in his Pro Football Focus grade. Wyatt Milam graded out as the top pass blocker at 88.8. Those are excellent scores, very high scores. We only had two penalties on the offensive line, both by the same player. I won't mention him because he doesn't need mention because it's not really, you know, no big deal. Right now, Wyatt Milam is the third highest rated tackle in the Big 12. Jeremy, the offensive line is doing their thing. Now, what I will say is this. We've played nobody. Towson stinks because they're an FCS school. Virginia Tech has played nobody. Even though their defense was ranked very high, they played nobody. They played Old Dominion. They played Boston College. They played nobodies. They stink, and we showed them that they stunk. But the point is, when you play nobodies, you should make them look like nobodies, and that's what West Virginia did. Especially in that second half, we wore them down, and we wore them out. So I got to give props for props to do to Matt Moore and to that offensive line. That's the thing that stuck out to me more than anything else. Really, really loved that.
Yeah. I like seeing Jacoby Spells step up in the secondary. I thought the whole secondary played better in the second half. We actually got after the quarterback. But Jacoby Spells, man, he's going to be if for us to get, better, a lot better in the secondary. Not only is Charles Woods going to have to come back, which I'm seeing some stuff on Twitter, Brandon.
They say he's out for this week.
Okay, I thought I saw hashtag free. I thought I see him tweet that.
No, he said free nine. He's like asking to be free.
Oh, I got you. Okay, I thought I saw hashtag free. I didn't see the nine at the end. I was like, oh snap, this means he's playing. Well, aside from that, the young guys are going to have to step up for our secondary to get better. Jacoby Spells, Mumu, they're going to have to play ball. I think that's big. I also think in the Virginia Tech game, first of all, I mean, there's no way you can overlook the offensive line, the Mack truck size holes they were making. I've not seen us block that well in a very, very long time. They looked extremely dominant. But it was a receiver, too, like Prather. Prather, how many catches did Prather have?
I think he had five, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, I thought he had a drop in there. There was one play in there that I didn't like so much, but he looked like a go-to receiver. He was bringing down the ball. Those are the kind of things I love. Oh, he had
six catches for 69 yards.
Yeah. I also want to bring up Dante. Brandon, I specifically paid attention to Dante Stills because I feel like, not a lack of production, yeah, but like statistically speaking, I didn't see him a lot the first few games. And I was like, well, maybe I'm just missing it. Are they double teaming him?
And wait, the first few games?
Yes. Like when I really just paid attention to one guy. Because I wanted to see, hey, is he being double teamed? What's happening with Dante? And Brandon, the answer is, in fact, yes. I watched that Virginia Tech game. I was watching Brandon. They double team him almost every play, which is smart because he is dominant. But Brandon, do you remember that third and one? Dante got doubled on third and one and pushed through like two guys, maybe even three guys, to make a tackle. He went off the field fired up. I had to watch it again to really appreciate what he did. That boy's a monster. That is definitely a positive. Dante, we need him to keep it up, keep commanding those double teams so the rest of the defense can continue to make plays. But one big shout out I also want to give to is Graham Harrell, Brandon. Those plays to the tight end, to O'Loughlin, one was caught, one was dropped in the end zone. But the reason why I bring it up is those plays were perfectly called plays, perfect red zone plays. The design of them, the way they developed, they were designed perfectly, executed perfectly up until the very end of the equation. But right now, I'm giving props to Graham Harrell with coming up to go-to plays that you can go to. The only reason why I want to shout out Graham Harrell is we ran the ball 46 times. We passed the ball 30 times. And I know I heard him, you know, somebody was showing reports on Twitter how he went to JT Daniels and said, what play you want to throw? And he's like, no, I want to run the ball. Love it. If JT Daniels really said that, I love it. And why would I not believe it? Because the thing I think to myself is, Brandon, do you know how hard it would be to not throw the ball over 50% of the time when you have a quarterback like JT Daniels?
And a receiver like Bryce Ford Wheaton?
You know? You have that shiny new toy who could sling it all over the field. Who's killing it. Who's making all the right reads. To have that much self-control to dial it back. Brandon, do you think JT Daniels would only throw the ball 30 times if Daniel Holgorsen was a head coach?
You know, I don't know because you got, I mean.
No, probably, by the way.
Probably not.
As it came out of my mouth, there has been games where he stuck with the run game, but I will also say it felt like he had to. And I'm not hating on Dana.
I was gonna say, Skylar Howard years, he did, but he had to.
Yeah, I'm not hating on Dana or any other coach. I'm just saying when you have a great passer, it's hard to pull yourself back, to have that self-control, not to sling it around the field more. I'm thoroughly impressed that we did what we needed to do. Granted, running was working, and so you stick with it. But a lot of times, these offense coordinators and quarterbacks, they get pass happy.
Yeah. So
props to that. What's the negatives that you took away from the Virginia Tech game?
Well, before the negatives, you mentioned Jacoby Spells, and I wanted to talk about Jacoby Spells. Freshman, bald, getting props from everybody. You pointed it out to me first, and I delved into the stats. He had five balls thrown his way. Guess how many completions?
How many?
One for 5 yards. He also got the pick six, the first one we've had since 2020. So, Jeremy, that was just ridiculous for a freshman to perform that well in a game of that magnitude. So hopefully that gives him confidence, and hopefully it doesn't give him overconfidence, but gives him confidence going into this game against Texas with their very talented receiving room. Now, as far as the negatives, 111 yards of the 193 passing yards by Virginia Tech were after the catch.
Again.
So tackling is an issue in my book. Got to do better tackling. Got to do better wrapping up. I don't like Neil being conservative, kicking field goals when there are options to go for it, situations where the game dictates that you should probably go for it, trust your offense, and score touchdowns instead of field goals. Our kicker, Casey Legg, outscored Virginia Tech by himself. That sounds funny, right? It's a good way to make fun of Virginia Tech. We beat you 12-10 with just our kicker. But it's also like we could have piled up more points. We could have piled up more yards. We could have won that game more handily, even though we did win 33-10. And it's not like a knock on Neil, like just a knock on Neil. It's the fact that there's going to be games where it's going to be different. You're going to play higher levels of competition like you did in Pittsburgh, like you did when Kansas came to town. And you're not going to win those games if you're not more aggressive. And it's not just me saying that. Statistically, WV Stats Guy pointed that out. He pointed that out with a graph showing West Virginia's leaving points on the field. And you can't do that if you're going to be competitive, if you're going to get back in this thing and go on a run like everybody's talking about, if you're going to go on a run that at the bare minimum gets you bowl eligible.
The funny thing is I didn't even see West Virginia Stats Guy put that up. He has put up some great stats. I personally just thought about it for myself. Brandon, we only scored 26 points. Now, I will understand. Here's the thing I do like. We controlled the game. We took the crowd out of it. We took the long way. We had extended drives. Therefore, when you do stuff like that, you're not going to score as many points because you're sucking the air out of the stadium. But we only had 2 touchdowns all game. We only scored 26 on offense. 2 touchdowns on offense is not going to cut it against a lot of teams in the Big 12. And yes, we had 33 points, but really we only had 26 on offense. So you bring up how our kicker scored 12 of the points. That only leaves 2 touchdowns on the table that we actually finished drives with. Brandon, we had 2 super long drives, 14 plays, 92 yards in the first half. We end with 3 points. 14 plays, 92 yards. I think it was 6 or 7 minute drive, 3 points. Later on in the game, we go 14 plays, 78 yards, and once again, we end with 3 points. This is where you get nitpicky. We enjoyed the win. We enjoyed the win all the way up until about right now, Thursday. Now it's time that, hey, we got to get better. We've got to get better. You can't leave points on the board. You can't keep kicking these field goals because at some point it's going to come back to haunt you in the Big 12. The other big thing, go ahead.
No, 100%. Like, we're going to play much better teams than Virginia Tech, who stinks. Like, don't get confused about what you saw.
When you talk about Virginia Tech stinking, let me just map it out for you. Virginia Tech is absolute garbage. Now, you can see it from so many different things, but just look at the sheer fact of 15 penalties for 132 yards.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know. I watched the game and I realized how undisciplined and not coachable that they are. But then when you see 15 penalties for 132 yards, sheesh.
And I'll give Brent Pry an excuse. It's his first year. He's trying to reestablish. He's trying to establish his own culture there. So I'll give him an excuse. But he got Grant Wells at quarterback. He's a reject from Marshall. Like, I'm not trying to hate, but you get a group of 5 rejection. A guy who was not good enough, who did not cut it at Marshall, is your quarterback. He threw 4 interceptions against Old Dominion. Shout to Allie Jennings, who is doing his thing at Old Dominion, representing for the entire nation at Old Dominion, but they're still Old Dominion. So let's be real. Virginia Tech stinks. Let's not give Neil credit, too much credit, for doing what he ought to have done. He beat a rival. Great. He won a 2nd game in a row. Great. He beat a team he was favored to beat. Good. But Jeremy, do you know Neil has never won 3 games in a row at West Virginia University?
I didn't know that for a fact, but I believe it now that you say it.
He's never won 3 games in a row. He's now won 2 again. He's never won 3 in a row. So here we are going to Texas. Started out as 11-point dogs. It's now whittled down to, last I saw somewhere, there was an 8.5-point figure. So 8.5-point dogs going to Texas at night. They have a backup quarterback who's not 100%. They might be able to get Quinn Ewers back, but he's not going to be 100% with that sprained shoulder. So it's a game that West Virginia can win. Big Game Boomer, who everybody loves, has Texas on upset alert. So Neil has a chance. He's got the talent. He's got the squad. Can he finally win his third game in a row as the Mountaineer head coach? That's the question. If you want me to start giving you credit, I want to see progress. Progress is doing things you've never done before. You've beaten Virginia Tech. You've kept the Black Diamond Trophy. You've won two games in a row. You've beaten teams you should have beaten. Where's your marquee win? Now, this won't even count as a marquee win, to be honest, because Texas is not ranked.
Yeah, well,
this will count as a marquee win because this is a battle for the last place in the Big 12.
Yeah.
This is just keeping pace.
No, absolutely. And here's the thing with Texas. Actually, I want to say one thing about JT Daniels, but we'll get back to that here in a second. The thing about Texas is they run the ball. We're going to have to stop the run. I'm always scared when we play a team that can put up a lot of passing yards. Now, here's the thing. I know I said the key to beating Texas is our secondary because they're going to have to show up and do something. We can't let them get off, go off throwing the ball against us. But I also, it's not as big of a fear as it may have been in the past with Texas. I know Hudson Card is a good quarterback or was at least highly ranked coming out of high school. But he hasn't proven he can light up the scoreboard or the stat line yet. His first game, he had 178 yards. Or his second game, he had 178 yards. Last game against Texas Tech, he had 277 yards. But he's only throwing 63.3% so far. He makes some throws that are good, but I've not seen a guy who's just going to tear us apart. This is a good game for our secondary to get up. I'm not saying they're not going to give up 280 yards passing. I'm saying hopefully this is not a game that we give up 450 yards passing and four touchdowns. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I 100% get it. Like, and we've not been great against backup quarterbacks historically. Like, they've gotten to it. Like,
and they got Sark. Sark is a great offensive coordinator. Wherever your deficiencies are on defense, he's a beast. Gary Patterson, great game planner when it comes to the other team's offense. Now, obviously, last week it doesn't look like that, but Gary Patterson's a great defensive coordinator. So X's and O's going up against it this week, we're going to have a tough time. My thing is, though Texas is getting better, though they have the number one running back in the country, though Quinn Ewers is the number one quarterback and Card was a highly rated quarterback, and there's a lot of other players who are four stars that talent-wise Texas is bringing in, I don't think they're quite there yet. And I think we have a chance. I wouldn't pick us to win right now, but I think we have a chance if our secondary can come up with some big plays and big stops and we can start capping off some drives with touchdowns.
Yeah, no, Jeremy, I agree.
Here's my one thing, Brandon, though, and I'm not being negative about JT Daniels. How can we be negative about JT Daniels when he's done? I mean, look how much better he looks. Look what he's putting on the field. I said this to you on the phone, and I still feel like this, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm nitpicking. Maybe I'm looking too close. He has not yet needed to run with the football at the quarterback position. But I think there's a difference between preferring the pass, you know, looking for the pass first option, and there's a difference between that and refusing to run. And maybe I'm wrong. Hopefully I'm wrong. Hopefully I'm seeing into things that just what my mind wants to see. I'm starting to feel like he is a refuser to run the ball.
Well, I just
just get that feeling. I just see little things, and I feel like he refuses to run.
I don't think he can run, Jeremy. My big thing is I don't think he can. That's like saying Peyton Manning refuses to run. No, Peyton Manning can't run. Like, that's not an option.
Brandon, I didn't know he was this immobile.
He's not Jared Daigie. He can get out of the way. He can avoid the rush. He's mobile in the pocket. He's not a get out and get you yards run quarterback. He's not. He's not going to be.
But sometimes you got to take it if it's there. And that's what I'm saying.
I've not seen an example of it yet.
I've seen a couple little things that made me feel. Here's the thing. He has not had to just take off yet. Good. And hopefully I'm wrong. Hopefully in these Big 12 games, if something opens up, because we're going to have to win a couple games because he's going to have to make a first down on third and five and just takes off and somehow makes us a great, you know, not a great play, but just takes off and gets the first down with his legs. That's going to have to happen at some point in one of these Big 12 games. Like I said, I hope it happens when it needs to happen, and he's not one of those people who, because you have this certain quarterbacks who refuse to run.
Yeah, they are I don't think he's one of those guys. I don't think he's image conscious. I think he's afforded the privilege of not having to worry about being labeled a running quarterback. So unlike Geno, who is worried about being labeled a running quarterback, I don't think he's worried about that kind of.
Geno also still refuses to run, Brandon.
Again, like I said, by the way, Geno runs way more in the NFL than he did in college.
Yeah, well, because he had to, and he's running for his life.
Yes, but I've seen Geno run more now in the NFL than he did in college. Shout out to Geno. 10th in the NFL in QBR, by the way, for Geno Smith. Shout out to him. Russell Wilson is 21st, just an FYI for those of y'all.
Man, Russell has fell off. I don't care what nobody says. You know what? Not even fell off. I honestly didn't think he was that good to begin. Like, he was good. He had good seasons, but he had the Legion of Boom. He had Marshawn Lynch. Like, I always thought he was a solid quarterback, but when people started putting him up when Colin Cowherd started chanting from, you know, the top rope about how he's a top five quarterback, and every time he mentioned people, he would always throw his name in there. Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson. What? I know statistically he has some good years, but he's never been. He's been a really good quarterback. I've not put him in the elites. And this year, woo, is he proving it. Good night.
But back to JT, I think he's a take what they give you kind of guy. It's like Graham Harrell said when he gave him the option for an audible and he was going to pass the ball, and JT's like, why don't we run? He said he's never had a quarterback choose the option of running when passing was on the table. I think he just takes what the defense gives him, which makes him a very valuable asset. He's a very cerebral guy. I think he just takes what's given him, but I don't think he has the ability to take off and run in a lot of situations, very rarely. I mean, they would have to just be wide open, complete abandonment by the defense in a man coverage situation where there is no spy for him to run. And, of course, there's very rarely, if ever, going to be a spy on JT Daniels. So I think that's where we are with him. But, you know, we'll see if you're right. But, I don't think that's an issue. I will say,
we'll see. It hasn't been yet. It hasn't been yet, but we'll see.
One quick question. There are people who were debating being whether it's good or bad that Texas lost to Texas Tech last week for us. Is it good or bad that they just are coming off a loss? What do you think?
I think it's worse for them to come off a loss against us.
Do you think it's worse for us?
Yeah, it's worse for us for them to be coming off a loss. No question.
I 100% think it does not matter at all. There were examples in the past where they've come off losses and we beat them. They lost to Kansas last year and then we beat them the next week.
That's true.
So I mean, I think that a lot of it has to do with it's just us. It's us. It's West Virginia, and the finishing drives thing I think is the most important part. Finishing drives with touchdowns is the most important part. We beat Kansas if we score touchdowns instead of field goals. And also, another question, very important question. Will Reese Smith be returning punts?
Yeah, he will. Should he? I don't know. I haven't been at practice. I haven't seen it. But all I know
been
is...
Been at practice, Jim? He's fumbled two in-game already.
I agree. For me, I said immediately, he should be pulled. He shouldn't be returning any more punts. There needs to be some kind of repercussion, some kind of sitting, but Neil Brown's never going to do that. You see him come right back in the game and do the same thing with no penalty, which, hence the reason why Neil Brown teams sometimes lack discipline, because... feel like you do whatever you want on his team, but no, he'll definitely be playing because that's how Neil Brown rolls.
He's definitely going to be returning punts. If he wasn't going to be returning punts, he would not have continued returning punts against Virginia Tech, like you just pointed out. When people brought that up, I wanted to say it's obvious he's going to be returning punts. If there was going to be a change, I would have guessed they would have immediately changed. Now, you could make the argument, maybe there wasn't an immediate change because there wasn't another guy ready, and they needed a week to get a guy ready. And with 10 days to get a guy ready, maybe that's what you do. You go with the next man up. But I doubt it. You got anything else on WVU versus Texas?
Nope. That's all I got for WVU stuff.
All right. Well, let's span the globe. Let's go. What did we call it last time?
I have no clue. The rundown.
The rundown. Whatever you want to call it. Colin called it spanning the globe. I love calling it spanning the globe. We're just going to span the globe. Jeremy, I want to talk about Dana Holgorsen a little bit. Did you see Dana? Did you see Dana saying when he did his press conference after they barely beat Rice 30-27, Rice who stinks, Houston who was ranked in the top 25 before the season started, which tells you how dumb preseason polls are. Dana said, I'm no longer taking responsibility for these penalties and mistakes. I'm tired of yelling at these kids. I'm tired of motivating these kids. I'm tired of talking about it.
That's so
did you see that?
No, I did not. I saw everybody talking about something. I did not see what he specifically said. He has lost his brand. He has lost his mind. Mr. $4 million a year down there at Houston. $4 million a
guaranteed.
Year at Houston has the nerve, the audacity to let I'm no longer take. That's rich. That is rich.
Which he did back off of it and say that he came back later, like the next day or 2 days later, and realized how ridiculous his comments were, how mad the fan base was, and I'm sure his higher ups were, and basically said, you know, I said some things out of frustration I shouldn't have said, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. Typical Dana Holgorsen. This is why I will say, I am not upset with Shane for not renewing or extending Dana Holgorsen. I'm not upset with Shane.
No, I thought it was a good move.
For not fighting to keep Dana Holgorsen. I'm not upset with Shane for hiring Neil Brown. To me, there were no red flags. Neil Brown fit the bill. He looked like a good hire at the time. The only problem I have with Shane is the extension. That's my personal feeling on the matter. And Dana Holgorsen in Houston continued to show why he was not the guy in Morgantown. He didn't want to be here, most importantly. But after that, he didn't do anything to prove that he needed to stay. And he continues to show he's not a marquee guy. He's nothing to write home about. He's nothing to be crying in your beer over him being gone. That's all I have to say about Dana. Do you want absolutely. To go down? Go ahead.
No, absolutely. And they're going to have their hand, and they're going to have their hands full Friday night at 8 p.m. I don't know if it's 8 p.m., but Friday night on ESPN, Tulane versus Houston. If you've not checked Tulane out, they're a good program. So far this year. So Houston has their hands full. Let's see what Dana does now. Kansas State hands full. Actually has some teams on the schedule to play, unlike last year.
Kansas State just beat Oklahoma in Norman, which has become a normal occurrence, but Tulane beat Kansas State. So yeah, that's not gonna be an easy win for Houston. We'll see what happens. What games are you looking forward to?
Here's the thing. When I was looking at games this Saturday, I started writing down, Brandon, I'm not going to mention specific Big 12 games, because the truth is, it's been a long time for me to say this, Brandon. Every Big 12 game is interesting. Every single one, whether it's Iowa State versus Kansas, whether it's Oklahoma State versus Baylor, whether it's Texas Tech, Kansas State, you have teams that are playing well. All the games in the Big 12 are interesting. So I'm not even going to mention them because all like everybody's above 500. Everybody is playing ball. Who knows when these games are all interesting. For me, I'll start with Washington and UCLA. Only reason why it's interesting is both teams are 4-0. UCLA, I do not think is really that good. They keep barely winning against stink teams. But for the 4-0 versus 4-0, let me look at Washington. Let me see UCLA. That's Michael one of the Penix. Games I had in mind. Penix. What game did you have in mind?
Jeremy, I got to see Alabama and Arkansas. I know Arkansas just lost to Texas A&M. Texas A&M is loaded with talent, but they somehow find a way to not be very good. But Arkansas is a hard-nosed, tough team. And Alabama, I'm not sure about them. I don't know what it is. Their receivers, like we talked about, aren't that great. I don't know what to think. But I'm curious what's going to happen 3:30 on CBS. Is Alabama the number two team in the nation? I'm curious about Michigan versus Iowa. Not because Iowa's good. Their offense stinks. But if Maryland could hold Michigan down the way that they did, that Iowa defense could do the same thing against Michigan. So I'm curious about that. I talked about
not curious at all because Iowa has no offense. I don't care if they hold Michigan to 1 point. That just means they're going to get shut out. Because I do not believe in Iowa. but go ahead.
The game in the ACC is Clemson and North Carolina State. That game's at 7:30 on ABC. Ukulele gets another easy ride because does not get an easy ride because North Carolina State has a defense, actually. Gibby down there, you know how Gibby is when he's got a little bit of time to prepare. when he's going against a quarterback, especially one who's not super mobile, because Ukulele can run, but he's not like, he's not your super mobile, get out of the pocket, run guy. We'll see what he does. He put up great numbers last week. I got to give him props because I hated on him hard. But we'll see what he does against number 10 NC State, who is way overvalued, by the way.
You don't think they're that good?
NC State? Who almost
won? Yeah, you don't think they're that good?
NC State, who almost lost to East Carolina, who should have lost to East Carolina if it wasn't for the missed extra point and missed field goal? No, I don't think they're that good.
Yeah, that's what they call a letdown game, the game right before Clemson, the game against a rival.
They lost that game. That was the first game of the season.
Oh, never mind. See? Okay. There you go. I think the game may be closer than that. NC State, Clemson. I'm interested to see what Clemson can do. Clemson, like I said, dispel some thoughts that you had.
No.
We'll see. I think
that game will be
close. Everybody's overvalued right now. Okay. Okay, yeah. I just think it's a monster game. I think this is huge. NC State, Gibby going to NC State. I know this is not all about Tony Gibson, but it is about the NC State defense, and he is the defensive coordinator in a big game, another showdown with Dabo. I love it. I love it. That is the monster of the week. There's also a big one. You know what's funny? It's a big one in the SEC, but not a lot of people are going to view it like that. Kentucky and Ole Miss. Kentucky's known for their basketball. Well, one of the Stoops brothers has them playing foosball now. Them boys came out. They beat the Gators. So every single week is a new audition for Kentucky to show who they really are. The number 7. Let's see if they can take on the Running Rebels. It's not UNLV. the Rebels Ole Miss. Game has me interested.
I think both of those teams are overrated, but yeah. I mean, you know, it's got big implications because you got low
Kentucky is overrated, but Kentucky plays solid football. They play that Notre Dame style football when Notre Dame's good. Good defense, run the ball, don't make mistakes.
No, I agree. I agree. So, they're good, but I just think they're not. I don't think they're number 7.
Anything outside the top 4, I can understand, because after the top 4 or 5 is like, who's good and who's really not good.
Well, I guess that's true. That's a fair assessment. That's a fair assessment. Early.
You want to get all to right. The NFL or
let's go to the NFL. It's NFL time.
All right. I got 4 games. I'll let you want to kick it off?
Yeah, to me, the game that I don't know if I'm looking forward to it the most. I'll just say this up front. We are giant Geno fans like everybody else in Mountaineer Nation. So of course Seahawks Lions jumps out at me at 1:00 on Sunday. Lions are proving to have a pulse. Okay. They're 1-2, but they have a pulse. Seahawks. Same sort of thing. Let's see what Geno can do against that crazy quarterback or crazy coach over there in Detroit. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that game.
My game.
No, but that's not the game. I don't think that's the game of the week. Huh?
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. You gave your first one. Fine. Let's go with another one. Give me your game of the week.
The game of the week, Jeremy, is easy. Super Bowl rematch. Chiefs-Bucks at 8:20 on Sunday. Now, I know the Bucs are beat up, but that defense isn't. The Chiefs are coming off a loss to the Colts. I want to see what Mahomes can do going up against that defense. And can Brady muster anything with the injuries they have on offense?
I think that's big. I don't believe that's the game of the week, but I can understand how you get there. There's 2 other games I think are huge. Brandon, Burrow versus Tua. The golden boy in the AFC is Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert. Tua is a little stepchild. Only one of their teams is 3-0. Burrow, Tua, Cincinnati, Miami go at it on Thursday night. What a way to kick off the week. I think that's big. But even bigger than that, I think has the potential to be the AFC Championship. If the Chiefs don't have anything to say about it, actually, the Chiefs and Dolphins, there's 4 teams in the AFC, I think. And there's 5 teams when Deshaun Watson comes back to Cleveland. There'll be 5 teams in the AFC who can win the Super Bowl, which is the Browns. I know, don't laugh too hard. But the Browns, the way they're cut out, if you put Deshaun Watson on that team, you got the Chiefs, you got the Dolphins, but you also have the matchup this Sunday that I think is huge. It's the Bills. Let's see if they can rebound versus Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. I think that game is going to be huge too. Bills Ravens.
Bills Ravens is definitely big. I don't understand why you're excited about the Bengals. The Bengals can't protect anybody, Jeremy. They're terrible. They need to get Joe Burrow some kind of protection on that offensive line. Freezing cold takes is when Lael Collins said, nobody's touching you, to Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow has been touched more than anybody else in the NFL at the quarterback position. There's no chance. And the Bengals defense isn't great, so that offense.
Now, I just like the head up, the head to head matchup of these young quarterbacks.
The marquee looks great, but I mean, if you're looking at it,
to put the respect onto his name. Like, everybody's talking about him being replaced by Deshaun Watson. Why? How come the Tua only gets 2 years here in his second or third year? Like, everybody wants to talk. Oh, can he? He's out here balling. Look at his completion rating. Oh, when he has weapons. Yeah, most quarterbacks who are good have good weapons.
Yeah, but he's throwing to wide open guys. Like, I watched the game against the Ravens, and the receivers were wide open.
I've never seen somebody else. Brandon, why did they say that about Kurt Warner?
Why are they biased against Tua? Why aren't people giving respect to Tua?
Because he's small. Brandon, this is easy. He's a small quarterback. He's a tiny quarterback.
Yeah,
he's
and he big. Said he's himself can't see over the line.
Physical specimen.
And he said himself he can't see over the line.
That's what I'm saying. So you're asking me why there's a bias. That's why there's a bias. It's not like he's fleet of foot. Not like he's a cannon of an arm.
He is fleet of foot.
He's a small, not super fleet of foot.
He's not Lamar Jackson, but he can run.
The other game I thought was a big game, and this is ridiculous because I would never have thought this in a million years, and yet this is actually a more interesting game now if you look at it. The 2-1 Jaguars, who all of a sudden talk about a pulse,
yeah,
with Trevor Lawrence, the golden boy, against the Jalen Hurts-led 3-0 Philadelphia Eagles. I think this game, you would have never guessed, would have been an interesting game. I actually am going to watch this game. Jacksonville versus the Eagles. Never thought I would, but you got two football teams that are heading in the right direction, and you got the future, maybe, of the NFL and Trevor Lawrence. I'm sorry. I like Jalen Hurts. I still just can't say he's the future. I got to leave him off. Even talk about his game, I got to leave him off. The future of the NFL, but...
No, I'm with you because I didn't
love
see
what he's
coming.
Doing, though.
I didn't see it coming, but he's doing it. And I can't say anything about a guy who's doing it.
But yeah. Yep. Well, that's it, Brandon. You got any other games?
No, that's all I got for the NFL. I don't think there's anything else for college. I don't know what
you
else.
You got to go. Let me just say that. Let me throw this out here, Brandon. You got to go. Okay. I was trying to wrap it up nice and subtly.
Yeah.
You can take the hit. You got to go, son.
Hey, real quick, let's remind everybody. This week is 10-12 week at Home Field Apparel. Specific shirts labeled for 10-12. You can get a specific WVU shirt at 15% off this week until Sunday. Please go get it. Save yourself 15% by using code 10-12-WEEK. That's T-E-N, the number 12, week, W-E-E-K, as the promo code at homefieldapparel.com. Go check them out. Use that code. Save yourself some money. And as always, holla at your boys.
Podcast Network.